7:29. Sort of feels like 11. Okay. We have to establish a quorum again. And I just forgot to tell everybody, Trey Arrive, he's our student representative.
Trey Arrive,
Karen Ward.
And real quick, please pull your microphone. If you're going to sit back in your chair, which is totally fine, please pull your microphone back, because there's a difference between this and this. There's a difference. So for everyone's sake, is that good? And you don't need to push any buttons. They're already live. Did it work?
Yep. Okay, let's establish.
I'm sorry,
man. Let's try this again here.
Karen Ward, here.
Steve Martinez, present.
Connie Breeze, here.
Don Cryer, present.
Okay, we have a quorum. Any additional agenda items?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Has everybody looked at the consent agenda and we need a motion?
I vote we accept the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Everybody in favor?
Aye.
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 She said it.
Karen? Aye. Any opposed? No. Consent agenda passes. On to the next item, public comments. Any public comments? None? Okay. Moving right along. Now our audit presentation. And I believe he's on the screen here.
Steve, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay? Yeah.
Loud and clear. I can't remember from last year. How do you pronounce your last name?
Scherer is how I say it. Say it however you want.
Thank you. Thank you. So
it's a wild name, but
so I'm gonna pass it over to Steve Tuchere to present the audit for the fiscal year 2015-16, so last year's audit of our city financials. And everyone will have a copy of the should have a copy of the audit in front of them. So
good. Okay. Great. Well, first of all, thank you for this presentation using our technological wizardry. If at any time you can't hear me or you have any questions, be sure and just stop me and I will try and answer those questions. Just to be clear, I'm staring at a blank wall, so you're going to see me, but I get to see the office wall, I think. So it's going to be challenging for me. I don't feel exactly like the president, but it's got to be weird like this anyway. So. But again, I appreciate you guys willing to let me do this presentation electronically, and we'll see how it goes. I understand that you guys have quite the weather going on. Now I can see you. How about that?
All right.
and I'd be happy to keep this as short as possible, because you guys have already had a long night here. I know you've got a lot of weather that you're dealing with, but I don't want to rush the presentation either. So let me just start by, if you will, look at the letter, the cream-colored paper, the three-page letter, and just go over that. That's a letter addressed to you. Starts off, I've audited the financial statements of the government activities in each fund of the city, or actually the government activities and business type activities. That letter is a required letter to you that indicates any issues we had during the audit, which there were none. It goes over a couple of areas that I always like to bring up, and the most significant of those has to do with the fact that some of the numbers in the financial statements are estimates, and those estimates are not a result of your budgetary accounting that you deal with on a monthly basis. in reports that you get or in your budget documents otherwise, but numbers that represent the capital assets primarily of the city, and that's what the estimates are. And those are not, the capital asset valuations aren't part of the budgetary process, as you probably know, but are part of the required financial statements, a couple of the statements in this report anyway. The other part of that estimate is not just the value of the assets, but also the depreciation on the assets. The idea of depreciation, of course, is to try and write off a certain amount of the capital assets as an expense each year. So those are some numbers, and I'll point those out in the financial statements as well. But they happen to be the biggest numbers in the financial report, and they also happen to be estimates. So that's kind of a critical thing to understand from that. Other than that, the letter really just indicates that we had no disputes with the staff at all during the audit, and that we gathered from management representations, essentially that we got all of the information that we asked for, that there wasn't the information that we should have gotten to make sure that the financial statements are without material misstatements. And that is what we report on as the auditors, is that these financial statements are presented to you without material misstatements. That's our assurance to you as the council and mayor. Any questions with anything on that letter at all? Then what I'd like to do, if you will, is turn to the table of contents in the report, which is the second page. These financial statements are a rather complex bunch of statements, and I just want to make sure that you guys have a basic understanding of how they're set up and what to look for in each of them. So if you're at the table of contents, just going down through the items there, of course, the first thing is my report to you, which is on page 1 and 1A and 1B. The management discussion and analysis is mostly text-based discussion of that's put together by your management of the summary information and some of the financial highlights for the city for last year. The basic financial statements are where things get a little interesting. The first set of statements, the government-wide financial statements, are presented in what we call a full accrual set of financial statements, where with you guys in your budget, you don't recognize long-term debt, capital assets, a few other assets that are presented on the set of government-wide financial statements. Because budget basis accounting for you is on what we call modified accrual basis. The government-wide financial statements are full accrual and present all of the assets and all of the liabilities of the city. It's kind of a financial statements that help present a long-term picture for you if you were to look at it and use it for any kind of financial, long-term financial planning. The next set are the governmental fund financial statements, which are presented on a modified accrual basis, essentially your budget basis. There's the balance sheet, which has all the assets and liabilities presented, then the statement of revenues and expenditures. There's two other statements in there, both start with the word reconciliation. What those are is a little worksheet, basically, that gets you from the modified accrual basis reports to the government-wide basis of reporting. So those items on that reconciliation are why there are differences there. We can look at that very briefly if you'd like, or I can take an hour to explain it to you if you'd like to, but I have a feeling that's probably not the case. So. statement, those are presented not on a budgetary basis, but rather on a full accrual basis also. And then we get to the notes to the financial statements. Following that are the beginning of all your budget-related statements, so all of the comparative budget versus actual statements. Usually that's where councils and boards and management like to look, because that's how you generally attach things on a budget basis. But because of what is considered accounting standards, governmental accounting standards, these financial statements are presented exactly the way that's required. So, any questions on any of that?
Nobody?
No.
No, just not.
Okay. If not, then what I want to do is just hit a couple of the highlights in these financial statements and leave it at that. Before I do that, though, I just want to emphasize that, as that letter said, we have no concerns or issues. Well, I really think that what you guys have for your accounting setup, the way you engage Brenda and her firm, is the very best way to manage a city of your size. It really works well because you bring in somebody who's very familiar with governmental accounting. It gives you an additional set of controls, built-in check and balance to make sure that things get done right and get done on a timely fashion. So I really want to compliment you on that arrangement and encourage you to continue that arrangement to the degree we can. An awful lot of cities and smaller governments in and around the state that we audit haven't made that arrangement yet, and it's really sometimes very difficult. More importantly, now we have to assess the representative, at least, of each government, their skill, knowledge, and experience to determine whether or not we're able to put these financial statements together for you. And if we decide that nobody has that skill, knowledge, and experience, then we can't do that anymore because we're essentially auditing our own work, and that's not the idea. So as long as the government has somebody on board that understands these financial statements, we can do that, and we will continue to do that for you guys, given the existing arrangement for sure. Any questions about that that comment or any of those arrangements you have?
It's just that I'm glad you made that comment, that we're going in the right direction. So.
Good. Yeah. It's really important. The whole issue of internal controls is a big deal. It's really difficult with governments of the city of Lupine size, but you've done as good as you can, honestly, at having great controls. The other part of it is just your involvement and asking questions about finances and being involved in the budget committee. Those are all really important, too. So you guys serve an important part of the internal control internal controls of the city also. So I want to make that clear also. Beyond that, in a general sense of things, if you are concerned or interested, the two-page audit report, it's a very boilerplate report. It has to be that way. That's more auditing standard stuff. But the most important thing about it is that it says that these financial statements, in our opinion, are without material misstatement. And there's a whole lot of words there that before you get around to that, but the opinion section on that page is where you can look and see that that's what these are. So as well. This is up to that. And this is those two statements, we call them the government-wide statements. This is those two statements that if you're thinking about long-term planning and the overall health of the city, this is where you might want to start because it does include the capital assets and the long-term liabilities. It's presented in two different columns, the governmental activities are essentially everything except for your water and sewer activities, which are in the business type activity columns. Those are required groupings also for generally accepted governmental reporting. What you can see there is that the net position for the governmental side of things way down the bottom is nearly $4 million. If you look halfway back up to that, there's a line total capital assets, $2.8 million of that net position is derived from those capital assets. And again, the biggest number in that is infrastructure, which has to do with the value of your streets and your sidewalks and other things. A huge number and a huge estimate as well. Putting a value on those streets is the most challenging thing that anybody can do, honestly, in terms of numbers. And again, if you look at all the rest of the numbers, they're half or less of that number. So that's what I want to emphasize. These values are big estimates. And you really have to keep that in mind when you're looking at this. And the business type activities, same thing. Infrastructure, that's all of your pipes in the ground, basically your plant is part of that as well. Those numbers very big as well and have a big impact on the total net position down at the bottom. The two-thirds of the way down, the other big number down there, $3.1 million, is the long-term portion the non-current portion of the long-term debt. And a couple lines up from that is the current portion of the long-term debt. Those are the payments due during this current fiscal year that you will be paying off this year. On the other statement, the statement of activities, this is essentially an income statement. It's formatted the way that we're required to format by governmental accounting standards. But if you ask me, it's the most upside down and backwards statement there ever was. It starts off with the expenses in the upper left-hand corner for each of the different departmental type activities of the governmental activities, followed below that by the expenses for the business type activities. To the right of that are any charges for services, grants, that we could identify specifically related to those activities. Below all of that, there's a section, below the changes in that position, you'll see general revenues. That's where the lion's share of all of the revenues to support the government, the governmental activities, is all your property taxes, franchise fees, all this. They all get netted out to the net change in net position for both the governmental and the business type activities. And if I don't have you confused at this point on that statement, then I guess I did my job. But it's a confusing statement to look at. I'll be the first to admit it. I wish it was some other way, but that's the way that it's supposed to be for me to tell you that everything was according to the way it should be for governmental reporting. Any questions on either of those?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Then if you would just flip back a few more pages to page 15. This is kind of the first look at the means you were dialed right into revenue before any expenditures. The main reason that that actually went down was because it transferred out $409,000 to other funds, particularly the street fund. And knowing that you're putting away money for some significant street projects, that's a great use of your funds as far as I'm concerned. The other thing I wanted to point out in terms of the general fund is if you look at the bottom line, your ending fund balance, $515,000, is almost equal to the total amount of your revenues up towards the top, $628,000. It's about 82% of those total revenues. Essentially, what that means is if you have been operating for a year without the revenues, which is a good place to be. I think any of us would be happy with that kind of situation. And not every government is in that good of a position. You guys are in a very strong position that way. And from my understanding, the city of Lapine was in such a good position a few years ago, so you've done a really good job of managing things and getting back to a good fiscal health. So the other columns there, the street fund, the urban renewal fund, and what's called other governmental funds are the two individual funds are there because they're identified by formulas we have to throw into the mix. They're identified as major funds. All of the other governmental funds that aren't major get dumped into this one column that's for other governmental funds, and they're summarized there. That column is broken out in some combining statements later on in the financial statements if you're interested in looking. Any questions about that statement or anything related to all that?
No, sir.
All right. I'm going to try and wrap things up here because I don't want anybody falling asleep on me because that's the last thing you need to do at this point, getting home safely, waking up from a nap. So. Going to page 18 for just a second. This is the essentially the income statement for your enterprise funds, the water and sewer funds. Again, this is not a budget basis. So that when you look at your net position down at the bottom, that really doesn't have anything to do with your fund balance. Those net positions are there and include, if you look to the left over there, the statement of net position for the proprietary funds. They include those same capital assets that I mentioned on the first statement that we looked at. So. I just want to point out, if you're looking at these and thinking they don't look like the budget, that's because they don't. They are not budget basis. Okay? And again, that's another required by governmental or generally accepted accounting standards format. Where you'll find the budget basis reports, again, for both general fund, all of the funds, including water and sewer funds, is in the back half of this document. After the notes. So I can look at any of those if you want to. Not sure that there's a whole lot of value in that other than again, to just know that the general fund is in a very good position. I think I've got highlighted, I do. I want to look at the water and sewer budget statements with people just a second. But before we go there, if you'll turn to page 31. The schedule and the notes regarding the city's long-term debt, the summary of all the debt. You'll see the beginning balance in the first column, any new issues in the second column, the amount of principal and interest retired, and then the outstanding balance. Now, on page 31, you know, I just want to point out that you know this, I believe, but I pointed out and give some kudos to you guys for getting that done. These two revenue bonds that were issued back in 2003 and 2005 you all know from paying mortgages, the interest rate makes a huge difference in what, how much interest you eventually pay out. So that move there last year is going to save the city a lot of money in interest over the years, and I just want to again commend you guys for getting that done. It will be a very beneficial move for the city in the long term. Any questions about that at all?
No, sir.
All right. Two more tabs I got, and then I'll let you go. Page 35, the general fund, budget versus actual. So this is from this page back is where you're going to see all your budget and actual statements. And I just wanted to step, drop in on the general fund for a minute. And again, just you can look at the differences. The first two columns are your budget amounts, the original and the final, if there was a difference, which there wasn't at the town's budget amendments last year. So those two columns are the same. The actual amounts are the third column there. And the difference is in the far right column. What you'll see is that your revenues were actually more than your budgeted revenues. Your actual revenues were more than budgeted revenues by a little over $100,000. The most significant thing there, of course, was the franchise fees. Some of your property taxes were a bit more than budgeted, so that's always a good place to start from when you're looking at budgeting and how things went. The next or section down there, the total expenditures you were under expended according to your budget by $110,000. So another good position to be in terms of managing this fund. The other financing sources and uses, that's due to transfers in and out that were that occurred as budgeted. And then that $18,000 change in the fund balance as they had identified on the fund financial statements. The other thing that I wanted to point out is that you budgeted for an ending fund balance of $225,000 and end up with just about twice that, a little over twice that. So very good financial position in terms of what was budgeted for the ending fund balance. And I didn't take a look before I got together with you here about what budget for beginning fund balance in this new year, but that may be something to take a look at where you actually ended up compared to what your budget beginning fund balance was. So it's nice to kind of know where you ended up at. And I wish I had looked at that, but I didn't think about it until just now. So, any questions on the general fund there?
Steve, I'll I'll give you that number. The proposed beginning fund balance for this fiscal year 16-17 was $393,239. So
there you go.
Yep.
Good
shape.
That's great. You're over by over $100,000 from what the budget. So that's a really good place to start from also, from a budget standpoint. Thank you for it. Any other discussion about that at all, I'd be happy to let you guys. You're also patting yourselves on the back at this point.
You're doing a great job so far.
Yeah. All right. So the last statement I wanted to look at are statements on page 47 and 48. Just back to the end of this document. And that is your water and sewer fund budget versus actual statements. And again, just kind of taking a look at where you ended up at ending fund balance versus what was budgeted, well above what was budgeted. And Corey, you may want to take a look at the beginning budget numbers for the water fund. sewer fund even farther above what was budgeted for as an ending fund balance. You'll see a couple of very big numbers in the water fund, debt service, and then down a little bit farther the debt proceeds. That's just the way we have to do the budgetary stuff. It shows the payoff of those loans in that refinance process. And the lower number of the debt proceeds is just the dollars received from the new note to pay off the old note. So that's what those two big numbers are. Any questions about either of those? Or anything else?
No, sir.
In that case, if there are no questions, I'm very pleased with how the city manages itself, how you guys are managing things. We have, excellent internal controls. These financial statements are a good representation of what's going on there. The last thing I want to do is thank you guys, both the staff and council and mayor. What you guys do, being on that council and being the mayor, is a relatively thankless job. And on a night like tonight, if I had a hat, I'd take it off. My hat's off to you. It is, you know, I don't know how you got there, but over on this side of the mountain, we're chickens. We don't go out in that kind of weather. it's amazing that you're all there. Get home safely, please.
Well, thank you for, being here for us. Everything you have to say is just makes us feel good up here now.
Yeah.
It may be boring to you, but it makes us feel good.
Good. And you should feel good. The city's in a good position for sure.
And I think you ought to just take time now. I mean, Corey's got to do it in the future, but Rick Allen really put us in the spot. And we owe him a lot, the city does. Corey's going to have to continue it on, so that'll be a challenge.
He got some big shoes to fill, but from everything I understand, and I will apologize to Corey, I have not been a very good communicator with him. My staff member, Bill, has been communicating with him. But I promise you, and when the weather clears, I'll show up over there.
August.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys, and I will let you disconnect whenever you're ready. But that's it for me, so thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Good evening, Steve.
Good evening.
Take care. Be safe getting home again.
One thing I will say is that we would have liked to have Brenda Bartlett, the city's finance director, CPA, that he alluded to earlier, and all of you know, here tonight. She wasn't able to attend. So if you review this further and have questions, we'll have an opportunity. We're hoping to get her on the 25th, but it might be tricky. So early February at the latest, and we want to do two things. One, circle around, answer any questions on the audit, dig into details if needed, and then also just sort of do a halfway through fiscal year 16-17, from July through January, through December update, because it's already that time of year we're starting to think about budgets. So I'll be working with staff and reviewing the audit, the actual numbers compared to the projections, like he was saying, and starting to get materials prepped through February, March, and ready for April, May, when we're in the thick of budget meetings. So just a heads up on that.
Okay.
And then the final thing I would say, and I might be wrong on this, but why not better safe than sorry? If we could get a formal motion accepting the fiscal year 15-16 audit for the record, I think that would be good.
Okay. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the audit.
Second.
Okay. First, seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, you have our acceptance. Great. Moving on. proclamation declaring January 2017 as National Cannabis Awareness Month. We discussed this at the past work session. I'm supposed to read this, I assume, I guess, right? Okay, proclamation, City of Lapine, a proclamation declaring January 2017 as National Mentoring Month. Whereas the goals of National Mentoring Month are to raise awareness of mentoring, recruit individuals as mentors, and encourage organizations to engage and integrate quality and mentoring in their efforts. And whereas youth development experts agree that mentoring is critical to the social, emotional, and cognitive development of youth, helping them navigate the path to adulthood more successfully. And whereas mentoring programs have shown to be effective in combating school violence, discipline problems, substance abuse, incarceration, and truancy. Whereas all the above listed benefits serve to link the youth to economic opportunities while also strengthening the fiber of our communities. And whereas Aspire, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Central Oregon, Better Together, and Heart of Oregon Corps are committed to supporting and growing mentorship opportunities for Lapine youth. Whereas, be it resolved that the Lapine City Council does hereby proclaim January 2017 National Mentoring Month, and hereby urges Lapine residences to support National Mentoring Month. Do we need a vote on this? Do we have to?
A motion to, accept the proclamation.
Okay. Anybody want to make a motion to accept this?
Second.
Yay. First, second. All ayes?
Aye.
Any nays? No nays. January 2017 is Mentoring Month. Okay, moving right along. Appointment of Public Works Committee and Planning Commission members due for expired terms. Russ Smith, he was here earlier, for Public Works Committee and Planning Commission, and also Jim Fleming, Linda Johnson, and Tom Muller for the Public Works Committee.
Yeah, so these folks, at meetings last month, staff inquired with members of these committees and commissions that their terms would be expiring, and these are the folks that expressed interest in continuing on in their service in that capacity. There are others that said they didn't want to for whichever reason, and we have recruitments out for planning commission spots in particular. But as this being January 2017 and those terms expired at the end of December, this is a formality of reappointing them to those positions.
Okay, we should have a motion for this.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we reappoint these members to the correct commissions.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, first and second in. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. No nays. They're all on the commissions. Contract amendment to FCS agreement regarding SDC services. Explain this one, Corey.
I'm going to do my best to keep this brief and high level, and if there are questions, please let me know. Back in February of 2014, a contract was entered into with FCS Group for a rate study and system development charge methodology change. The rate study occurred, and some work on the SDC change occurred as well. In February of 2016, so almost a year ago, a amendment to that original contract in the sum of $10,000 was passed and entered into with FCS Group for additional work on the system development charge portion of that contract. As all you know, the rate study is in effect. You know, we changed the way we bill, we've got increases indexed, things like that. So that's off the table. What we're talking about is system development charge methodology change. We had the consultant here in the summer, 6 months ago. They presented a report, jaws hit the floor, the numbers were big. We went, whoa, we're hoping to get grants, quite a bit of grants, many millions in grants, that will bring that cost down. The grants don't have to be repaid, therefore they shouldn't be included in the SDC figure. So we sent FCS back to, they're from Redmond, Washington, not Redmond, Oregon, a little farther drive, and said, hey, factor in the grant amounts, you know, we want this updated, come back to us. They came back in November, presented the updated report with the numbers down a little bit, but not much, to council. The city engaged the Central Oregon Builders Association, staff talked internally, and we found some discrepancies, some things that needed to be changed and updated. Some of that was on the contractor, some of that was on the city. The previous city manager, Rick Allen, and the previous public works manager, Scott Perkins, were the folks who, from 2014 up until last summer-ish, were the ones kind of spearheading this effort and setting the FCS consultants in motion, saying, hey, head this direction. What we've discovered, and we've been having conference calls and trying to get this straightened out, is that quite a few of the projects were misallocated for which portion is for future growth. And that makes a big difference. Say you have a $4 million project, and all you say in your report that 100% of that is for future growth. That means $4 million can go into your SDC number, and it's going to be higher, each SDC, to repay that $4 million. If only 50% is for future growth, that $4 million just went to $2 million. So giving you just a heads up that what Jake and I and staff decided to do was say, okay, we have to go back to square one. Sometimes it's painful to turn around, we'll take a couple steps backward, but ultimately to get to the place that we want, which is new updated SDCs for the water wastewater expansion project that we're looking to make happen, we have to do this. So Jake and I have told FCS to do that. We've been conducting meetings, trying to keep a little bit of momentum going on this, but also knowing we have to go back to square one to a degree. So, that was a little bit of a ramble, but that brings us to this amendment tonight, which is a proposal to finish the SDCs. And the final piece I'll say is that I brought to council back in October a proposal for, it was about $10,000 from FCS to finish the SDCs. I shared it with council, I got support from council, I failed to have an amendment drawn up and formally approved by council. So what you're seeing here tonight is some slight changes to that proposal back in September, but I'm looking for a formal approval of this contract for us to get the SDCs done. So I know that was a lot. I was trying not to get too much back history, but if you have specific questions or concerns, let me know.
So, go ahead. Do you have anything?
No, go ahead.
All right. Two thoughts that come to mind is, one, you said that part of the issues were with the contractor, so with FCS Group, and so where is your confidence level in to be able to do this?
Confidence level is still strong. I think it was, they're well-respected and well-known throughout the region, and they've been great to work with. I think I will point and say one of the difficulties is we had one company do the master plan updates, and that lists all the projects that we need for future growth. And then we had another company do the SDC methodology. And sometimes there can be misinterpretation if you're looking at this report. And I don't know if it happened years ago, but what should have happened from the get-go is to have those two people talking together and the city being sort of an intermediary to make sure and agreeing and saying that lagoon is for partially new growth, but not completely new growth. And I just think there was some things lost in translation, so it's pretty evenly spread for some of the hiccups and bumps we've encountered. But the good news is that the point we're at today, the numbers are significantly lower. I think we should have a final report to share with council at the end of the month. So it's been a little bit of a bumpier ride than we would have wanted, but I think at the end we'll get to the point that everyone will say that's a sound methodology and those charges aren't outrageous.
My second question was in regards to the charges, because you said in September you brought it to council saying $10,000, and this is almost one that's for it to almost $15,000.
Yeah, let me explain on that. On the front page, the first item under number one, it says council work sessions. So when he made the proposal back in September, he sent it to me and shared it with early October to council. He was planning to come in November, which he did, and then that would have been the last time he came to council. Well, we discovered some things that needed to be changed after that. So this proposal includes coming to council either in person or over the phone, which we could mitigate some costs maybe that way and have him do it over speakerphone, and also some meetings with COBA and other potentially interested parties. I had him factor in a higher number, hoping that we would come in low. Some of it's time and materials. So if we don't need those extra meetings, then this number will be lower.
Perfect. Thank you, Corey.
Done. How much total cost does this whole thing costing us to come up with these SDC charges?
So based on the original contract and the First Amendment that's been put in place, and if this Second Amendment to the contract is completed, it'd be approximately $70,000. But I will say that the first contract, a significant portion, half if not more, was for the water and wastewater rate study for system development charts. So.
Is that all your comments?
Yeah.
That's all your comments?
I have my opinions, but that's it.
Karen?
It is what it is, and some of it may couldn't happen, some did happen. And if we're wanting a true, honest rate and a fee for the systems development, we have to move forward. So
we're about 90% of the way there. You know, a lot of the work has been done, but a lot of the work has had to be redone. And there's a significant outreach. There's, you know, COBA is a strong group in the region that we want to work with. And they represent our builders. I've had personal meetings with Polish and with Arbor Builders, the two residential construction companies right now who are doing work in the city. So there is work being put into this, but I will echo what Councilor Martinez said, that we've come a long way and to try to get this done in the next 3-4 months by springtime, I think, would be the goal.
Well, I'll just make a general comment on this, is that I think it's a lesson that we've really got to start taking our time, effort, double-checking it, dotting our I's, crossing our T's, so things like this doesn't happen in the future. I mean, $14,000 out of the little city of La Pine is a lot of money. That's just my comment.
Mr. Mayor, just my position is this, that if you've got a company that's supposed to know how to do this stuff and you have to make all of these adjustments on it, maybe we should be more careful who we select to do some of these jobs.
And Corey addressed that. He probably should. But the point of it right now is, do we want to finish this project? And we got okay to 14,920.
So legal is working on drafting likely a two-page amendment, contract language that will protect the city. It's normal contract language. Jeremy Green's working on it. He didn't have it finished in time to be included in the packets and ready for review tonight. So what I've been instructed by him to do is to have, if council is in support, to make a motion to approve the contract amendment for SDC services and also authorize the city manager to enter into that agreement. And then when he gets it to me, I can sign and we can proceed.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I'll make the motion under protest.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? You pass unanimously, Corey, so we just go ahead.
Yep, I'll keep everyone updated on this. Like I said, Jake and I are talking with the consultant tomorrow at 1:00 to review his latest analysis. We'll have hopefully an updated report in the next week and a half. Probably be talking about this at the end of the month. I'll keep everyone updated Our goal is to, you know, we put out a 90-day notice, and I re-put it out, and then I said, I'm going to scrap rescheduling that and just sit down with everyone, COBA included and in particular, make sure everyone's happy on the same page, that we got a sound methodology, and then we'll authorize, approve them, essentially, if the council wants. So.
Well, yes. And the key to this whole thing, the STC is going to be considerably different than what we had talked about last time.
Yeah.
Just a quick note on that. I have full confidence in our staff right now, and I think no matter what position you come into, you inherit things from the past that you don't necessarily want to. So I think you guys are.
It's something that we wanted to, but we just didn't fully understand it too. So that's why we went back and revisited it. If we're going to pass this, let's get behind it and fully understand it. And that's when we found stuff with Anderson Perry, the Dinner Master Plan, and FCS. Let's all get together and talk about this. How much has this contributed to just growth? How much has it contributed to existing residences? That wasn't done at the beginning, I don't know, but we did it anyways. And now we're getting to some better numbers.
Which leads to why we have confidence in our current staff. Thank you.
And it's better to catch it now than down the road.
Absolutely.
So we're doing the right thing, and staff did the right thing.
Yep.
Perfect, yes.
Okay, good. Moving ahead. Public comments.
We've got one more on there, number 9, I'm sorry. Real quick. It's circling all the way back around to how we started this going on 3-hour, very productive, and I commend all of you for sticking through this, especially given the weather. The streetscape project. So what you have is a staff report and the legal documents drawn up by ODOT that's transferring the right-of-way to the city. That right-of-way will be where the sidewalks and the swales are constructed, because ODOT is saying, city, we love you and we're glad you're there, but we don't want to deal with the sidewalks and the street trees and the sod and the swales. That's your responsibility. And in the agreement that we've entered into with ODOT and Deschutes County back per last summer, it said that the city would accept the right of way. So this is just kind of a formal step. I also want to just use it as an opportunity to update all of you on the project that it's moving forward. So this has nothing to do with what we discussed earlier. It's just one piece of the project that's showing that things are happening and moving forward. So,
are you wanting a motion on this?
Yeah, motion to accept. Let me see the. Yeah, I would say a motion to accept the right of way from ODOT for the US 97 West Side Streetscape project. So,
okay. Could I have a motion on this? So
what he said.
I'll second that.
Second?
I just did.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any negative? Nay? None? Accepted? Correct. I guess I got way ahead of myself here. Other matters? Do we have any other matters?
Yeah, no other added agenda items.
Okay, good. Public comments? None?
Wake up.
I do.
Good. Okay. Could you come up here, please? And you have to state your name and address.
You can turn that mic the other way, sorry.
just for your... And we have to do this for record, so...
Melissa Marcotte. Address?
Yes.
Physical?
Yes.
52890 Lowell Way.
Oh, good. Okay. You have to get a little closer, because we can't... And that's a, that's a recording, too. You know, this records, so...
So I came here tonight. I was called by Sergeant Nathan
Garaby.
Yes, and asked if I would volunteer to be the point of contact for South Deschutes County for emergency management. Their resources are exhausted. They cannot clear off any more roofs. They cannot plow any more driveways. They have lots of welfare checks coming in, especially from the Portland area, that grandparents, parents are living out here and they haven't heard from them. They're making welfare calls and realizing that there's seniors out there that haven't eaten in days. They have no way to get their car out. Their prescriptions aren't coming in the mail. And I need to know if the city has an emergency management team already in place, or is this something that needs to come together as a city so that we have the point of contact?
Hmm.
we don't have a team or a plan in place for, you know, severe snow events. We don't have that go. We have a staff of 6 people, including myself. I'm happy to be the point of contact for that. So I do know Nathan. I have not been contacted with him personally, but I'm happy to listen and try to assist if we can. Within the city limits, I know, you know, we've got kind of an informal policy that if there's something severe, if someone has an issue with snow, we can help out for sure. The city limits are rather small. You know, most people who live in La Pine live outside the city limits. So they're just putting that out there for context, but I'm happy to give you my card or contact Nathan or whatever I need to do to be in contact for that.
Same here.
Jake and I can text.
Okay. And is there an email proof that can be brought together, or is there, I know that Kathy and Tony aren't here, which would help cover more Deschutes County now that we're in a state of emergency statewide. But I was hoping they were going to be personally as well.
When you say an email group, to like if individuals can lend their efforts or just to spread the word?
Well, dispatch is going to be emailing me things that the Deschutes County Sheriff's Office or the state police cannot handle.
Okay.
Because they're on emergency phone calls, but they're individuals that are in an emergency. And the way Nathan said it is, now that we are in a state of an emergency, there has to be more resources.
Yeah. Let's coordinate and figure out what we can do, and we can talk about the details a little bit more and figure out who needs to be contacted and the best way to do that and how to spread the word and try to maximize resources. Let's do that. We can talk tomorrow if you want.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate your efforts.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Any other comments? Staff comments?
I'll keep it brief. You know, for the amount of snow that has fallen, I have heard, and staff has heard, very few complaints from folks inside the city. We've heard some comments, and some comments that are constructive, that we're listening and addressing those needs. I think all in all, it looks good out there. I think that's a testament, again, to staff coordinating with our contractors, you know, picking up slack with our public works guys when we can. New plow put on the truck that Jake got done about a month and a half ago in preparation for that. New no parking ordinance when snow greater than 4 inches. We've had very good compliance with that. All in all, I'm just trying to paint the picture that yes, things are bad out there. In some places worse than others. And I think that the city of La Pine is very fortunate. We're in a good position for the most part. The other piece I'll add is that, again, thank you. You know, long meeting, lots of topics. I really, really appreciate everyone, you know, the input, the involvement, the things that we have going on and moving forward. The 25th, the end of this month, 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a long slated lineup as well. I was misjudged some of the discussion items in the work session. I thought they were going to be a little shorter. So I'm about an hour off from how long I thought the meeting would be. But that's a good sign that we've had lots of good input and involvement. I'll try to keep them under 3 hours, so. Agenda item wise.
Any other stuff? What did you say then?
Ashley got something.
No.
Come on.
Okay. Say it. So, of the contract that you guys just approved with FCS Group, 20% of the $75,000 that is being spent on that is for the SDC study. 80% of it went into the rate study. So I just want people to be kind of cognizant that that contract did include the rate study, and a huge portion of that contract included the rate study.
Thanks for the breakdown. I appreciate that. That's a little more than I thought, but that's good. Thank you.
Okay, council comments. Karen.
Busy night. Long night.
Okay. Sue?
Oh yeah, let's wake up, brew the coffee. I want to commend the staff in the Public Works Department. I've had zero complaints at the events I've been going to, and nothing but praise for the way the streets have been handled this time around, especially in a timely manner. You know, the last event we had, it was not good. This event, it seemed like the contractors and you guys were out on top of it. So I just want to give them kudos for that. And then along that same lines, yesterday afternoon, I had a phone call from Red Cross. They wanted a standby shelter set up over where the shelter for the homeless was set up for the zero temperature event we had. So I went to move the Red Cross trailer, but it was a little frozen to it. It was literally stuck to the side of it. And I went over there yesterday and spent like 3 hours trying to get it out, and I finally gave up. This morning I sent an email to the public works and the city manager and said, help me please. They came out in full force. I mean, Jake was up on top of that thing, shoveling the snow off of that trailer. And John was there. And they tried pulling it out with the four-wheel drive, and it didn't budge. So they called in reinforcements, and Mike showed up with a backhoe. And they connected the backhoe to the pickup, to the trailer, and boom.
And there's still a hitch on the trailer?
And there's still a hitch on the trailer, and the trailer is at the church for an evacuation center in case they need it. There are flooding events taking place, believe it or not, in Deschutes County because of the ice, and it's causing ice jams. So besides snow, wind, and everything else, we now have some flooding taking place. So that's another avenue is Red Cross also.
And I'm on call for the 48 hours as a volunteer.
Oh, good.
As am I and my husband.
Good. Awesome. So I just, again, it's a city playing that integral part in the whole circle of things going on in Deschutes County. And it's our guys that are doing it. And the gals. They're taking a lot of calls too, I'm sure. A lot more than they probably need to. So that's it. Long enough.
Great meeting, and as the city grows, we're going to have long meetings, and I personally am okay with that because I know we've got a lot of stuff to cover, and got a staff for our audit report. That was great. Good job, Ashley, and everybody else who contributed. But yeah, it's good to serve in a place where things are positive, things are moving, things are looking up. And also to Melissa's comment, there's a lot of stuff going on, and as our city grows, and we need to pay attention to those needs as well as the city and the infrastructure in the city as well. So it's good to see the staff getting involved in that too. So thank you.
I'd like to say too that as far as our snow plowing this year, it's been tremendously better than it was last year. We still got one lane going into Crescent Creek, but it's not their fault. It seems like somebody just pulled up and parked in one lane, and the car's been there for over 24 hours. So it's still one lane, but it's not your fault. They're still very narrow on some streets, but they're getting by, and we're able to get through. So I think that as far as our community, it's been really a successful year as far as plowing is concerned, and considering the amount of snow that we have. The one thing that I think we need to do, though, is maybe make sure that the fire department can find the fire plugs, because a lot of the fire plugs out there are pretty much covered up with snow. And I know that at the entrance to Crescent Creek, the snow is piled up so high that I have to pull clear out into the lane just about to see a car coming, which is not your fault either. I mean, it's one of those things we have and we live with it. But thanks anyway for doing a good job.
On that, Don, I did talk to the fire chief about fire hydrants. It is the individual homeowner's responsibility to clear the fire hydrants out. So mine is cleared out.
So in other words, it's the homeowners association.
Correct.
Correct. Okay, my comment is just I like these long meetings. Seems like we get something done, and I hope I like all the input. It just seems wonderful now. So
And of course, thank everybody. Everybody knows I'm appreciative for everything they do. So that's all I'm going to say. We're going to be out here soon. Okay, can I have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. We need eyes on this. Aye. Anybody? All.
Aye.
Anyway, say nay?
Okay. Nay.